Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth believing, this my covenant word I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving, and what follows. Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 11, and we shall read the first 30 verses. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, the first 30 verses. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, heaven is head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. And nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For ye have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, it is for the second day, it's time on this Lord's Day, that we may come up to thy courts, and that by renewal that we attempt with our unclean lips to come with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, with all the trials and difficulties, and above all with their sins. May it please thee by thy Spirit to make it a house of prayer indeed. Then we need thy dear Son at thy right hand as our praying and thanking High Priest. But Lord, make it also a house of thanksgiving. Thou hast granted many reasons also in this day to make it such a house. And then we have to confess that we take so much for granted, we find it also normal, not given to see thy special hand therein. But, Lord, may it please thee that there may be humble and broken hearts. Lord, may it in this hour also be a house of conversion. there is nothing too wonderful for thee. We have heard in this morning that even of the household of Caesar, that they were converted by thee unto thee. Remember so young and old. May it be a house of instruction. Lord, may the unconverted hear how poor they are where thou hast begun. May they be given to hear what they have received, but also what they yet miss. May there be no resting outside of that only name given under heaven, and that is thy dear Son, whom thou wast given as a gift, that sinners may be saved. Lord, may it also be a house of comfort, a house of encouragement. Wilt thou remember the broken reeds, and wilt thou blow upon the smoking flaxes. Lord, do bless the means of grace. Do help fathers and mothers with their solemn task, with their responsibility. They have promised the same with the baptism of their children to do their utmost. Wilt thou help them? May they be found on their knees, accompanied by a godly example. Wilt thou bless thy word in the church? Help the consistory to that end. And then thou wast also given as a help our Christian school. It hopes to commence in the day of tomorrow, and not a single empty place. May we be given to see it. The needs are great, they are manifold. May they daily be laid before thee. Wilt thou remember and help the school board with their solemn and weighty responsibility? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies day after day? Help the bus drivers, the students. We commend unto thee the administration, the principals, and wilt thou remember all the teachers. Lord, remember and help the students. May they be praying students for the children for whom it is not so easy. Wilt thou be their special help. Remember the handicapped ones. And Lord, above all things, may thou grant a special year, a year of a richer outpouring of thy Spirit upon our dear youth, that many jewels may be added to the meritorial crown of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou keep from sin and from temptation? May thy holy word have authority. Wilt thou keep us with the old truth and with the old paths? We remember thy church all over the earth. The established churches continue to uphold and remember in a special way the persecuted church, all those imprisoned, those tortured for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Many times their families, their dear ones, not knowing their whereabouts, do uphold them. Remember the Jewish people, take that veil away. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants, the team, in a special way do help. Father and mother who are studying that language, may they be given to experience that thou knowest of them, and with an eye upon a special purpose. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our nation. Remember our province. Remember the cities. Remember our town. Ah, could there yet be a returning unto thee, Lord? Wilt thou keep us as a people, a separated people, with our baptized forehead? Then by renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening, the handicapped ones, difficulties of the body, difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou remember the family circles, may love abound. Lord, remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Lord, dwell richly amongst us in this evening hour. Ah, do open thy word. Anoint with fresh oil from above, send help from the sanctuary, and strengthen out of Zion. Remember the listeners, give ears to hear, and hearts to perceive. Ah, Lord, that is thy work, to bring it into the heart. Remember the little children, help them also to understand. Well, thou take away everything that could be a hindrance. Grant a good hour in thy house, Lord. Thou can never do it because we are a worthy people and because we deserve it. But the prophet of old has declared, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake, that a triune God then may be glorified in a greater measure amongst us and our children. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 182, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7. O Zion, 'tis thy God's command that thou in strength securely stand. O God, confirm and strengthen still thy purposes in us fulfill. And what follows? Psalter 182, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 28, the question and answer 75 through 77. Question 75, how art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer, thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him. Adding these promises first, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, and that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question 76, what is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer, it is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77, where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? Answer, in the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, the cup of blessing which we bless? Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Lord's Day 28 speaks of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, with four thoughts. In the first place, a remembering sacrament. Secondly, a teaching sacrament. Thirdly, an assuring sacrament. And fourthly, a uniting sacrament. The sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. A remembering sacrament, a teaching sacrament, an assuring sacrament, and a uniting sacrament. Beloved congregation, when we compare Lord's Day number 28 with Lord's Day number 26, then the questions are very similar. And Lord's Day number 26, referring to the sacrament of holy baptism, and in this Lord's Day, referring to the sacrament of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also Lord's Day number 28 is an explanation of Lord's Day number 25, where the instructors, and that was their delight, to lift up that only name given under heaven, the precious name of Jesus, whereby we must be saved. And then already in Lord's Day number 25, then the instructors have clearly stated that the sacraments, they direct us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is in this Lord's Day. It is a broader Lord's Day concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. Oh, then the water points to that precious blood. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then it is more vividly and clearly betrayed what it has cost the Son of God. Then by renewal in this Lord's Day, then each time by renewal, using different words, then the instructors, they point us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the dying love of the dying Son of God. Then this Lord's Day that points to the necessity of reconciliation between a poor, hell-worthy sinner and a holy God, young and old. Has that now become our concern? Have we now learned that breach that there is between that holy, that just, that almighty God and our soul? Has that now become our burden? Has that become our sigh and our cry? Because the Lord has a people on account of that love, that they cannot live without the Lord. And then the thought to have to go lost, and to have to curse such a good doing and such a just God, that fills them with terror. Oh, then by renewal, the instructors, then they are given to point to that cross of the Son of God. Oh, young and old, that cross on the one hand, that points to the justice of God, that sin must be punished by us or by another, and that rather to let it go unpunished, he has punished the same, the sins of his people in his Son. Oh, the cross declares the love of a triune God, and with that cross congregation, then there is not one in this evening that can say, it is not for me. But to know that there is a cross, to know that the Father has given his Son with our mind, that shall not save us. It needs to be wrought, applied by the work of the Holy Spirit. And now our first thought, that it is a remembering sacrament. We read that word remember one time in the answer of 75 and two times in the answer of 77. Concerning the institution, we find that in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Paul has also received special revelation, as we have read it together, out of 1 Corinthians 11. It is called the Lord's Supper in the first place. It has been instituted by Christ. In the second place, administered by his authority. In the third place, by his provision. In the fourth place, by his invitation, do this in remembrance of me. And in the fifth place, for the Lord's true people. When we have read these answers, maybe you have noticed it, maybe you have caught it, that many times the instructor is given to speak in a very personal way, because we read that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me. As certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me, and further that he feeds and nourishes my soul. Have we heard a congregation? And have we then examined our heart? Because that me, that includes and excludes. By nature, we are not included. Then we stand outside. And now when the Lord begins that good work, congregation, may we be given to beg more for that good and precious work. That is such a necessary work, that we become a servant and a handmaiden, and yet one that cannot save themselves, one that has much to do with the justice of God, his holiness, and the need to be saved. And then the prayer is born, whether we may be included in that me, that becomes that one thing needful. That is the desire, that is the prayer of such a soul, that they may be included and to receive what the broken bread and the poured out wine signifies. And then it is called the supper, because the supper in Oriental times, in Bible times, of course it was in the evening, was the main meal of the day, and it was after a day of laboring in the sweat of their face. And now concerning a communal meal, in Bible times when Christ has instituted the same, then it was not a strange matter for that people in the Old Testament. When we think of the sacraments in the Old Testament, namely the Passover, then a lamb was to be taken without blemish, because the angel of death would come by and kill all the firstborn. Have we become such a firstborn congregation? Has it now become me that must die, laboring under our sin and our guilt? Does not mean that the rest of the families had no interest in it. Hopefully also concerned about their brother, of course, the father could also be the firstborn. But then for the firstborn, then what a meaning that lamb without blemish had for such a one. And then on the 14th day, then that lamb was killed. And then the firstborn, when he saw that lamb struggling, the blood pouring out, and finally dead, then that firstborn was given to think that lamb has now taken my place. What a blessing it is when the Lord grants the matter to a child of God with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And what more was needed, boys and girls, when that lamb was killed, than the blood, the side door poster on the top. And then I read in Exodus 12, verse 13, that the Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Have we become exercised with that blood, congregation? It's what the sacrament of the Lord's Supper goes about. No, the sacrament is not a savior, but it points to such precious things. But now what else has taken place with that lamb? Then the family had to return within their dwellings. And then that whole family has partaken of that lamb. Was roasted by fire. All points to the Lord Jesus Christ. None was to be left. Thus the whole lamb was to be eaten. Thus a communal meal. The Lord's Supper was instituted after the Passover was celebrated, the night in which Christ was betrayed. Then also concerning the offerings, the peace offering, then the offerer had to put his hands on the head of that sheep or goat or animal, symbolically transferring sin. And then such an animal was slain, was skinned. The blood was placed on the altar. The best parts, they were the fatty parts. In olden times, that was so. They were placed on the altar. They were for the Lord. The right shoulder was for the officiating priest. The breast for the priesthood, and then the rest of the animal that was to be eaten as a communal meal in the vicinity of the tabernacle or the temple. Thus, for that Old Testament people, then a communal meal was not a strange matter. And already in the Old Testament with the offerings, then it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. But now the sacrament may be administered in the New Testament concerning Christ who has come, who has given himself so freely and so willingly, and he was hung on the cross. Our second thought, a teaching sacrament. When we read, how art thou admonished, that word could give the connotation to us that it is a harsh word, exhortation. But in the time that our Heidelberg Catechism and our Bible was translated, then that word admonished, that means to teach and to instruct. And now concerning that teaching, then Christ is declaring in the sacrament where the broken bread points to the broken body of Christ, and the poured out wine to his shed blood, that teaches precious things. Then Christ is declaring to the child of God, I for you, this is what I have done. Oh, what a precious teaching. What a love declared that Christ was willing to leave his Father's habitation, come upon this cursed earth, and give himself to be hung naked on that cursed cross with all the sins of his church upon him. He was willing to die. He was willing to take the hell and death of his church upon him, that they may be set free. Thus a teaching, an admonishing sacrament. Then Christ, oh, his great love, was the night that he would be betrayed, the following morning to be judged and taken to that cursed cross where those nails would be driven through his hands and through his feet, that he would hang there as the sacrifice to appease the wrath of God. And now Christ, he knoweth his people. What a comfort. It's true, can be times that it is night, that it is darkness, many times contrary ways, that we cannot understand it. But Christ shall never forsake his people. And Christ knew that their faith would be attacked oftentimes. Oh, there are times that a child of God may walk upon this earth so easily and so freely with a childlike faith that they are a little lamb, a sheep that has been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. And that, as it were, that the Lord says unto the devil, now you must give my child a little Elam, a little rest, that they may be given to rejoice. But here below is not the land of rest. And then that faith that shall be attacked oftentimes, many questions and many riddles. And let us add, there can also be times in the life of a child of God when they may have those Elims, that childlike trust, simply following the shepherd, hearing his voice, experience that sweet communion, that there can be such a vehement desire that they may sit down with the king, as that crippled Mephibosheth has done at the table of David, to hear his voice and to receive those tokens, that broken bread and that poured out wine as tokens of his dying love. Then in these answers, then we have heard it, that Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, they were given by the Spirit to see much of the riches that lie declared in the signs of the Lord's Supper, where we read at the end of answer 75, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Thus, the sacrament to teach signs of his dying love, our third thought, an assuring sacrament, let us first sing. Psalter 234, the first four stanzas. O Lord, my God, my joyful heart will give thee praise forevermore. For rich in grace to me thou art, my soul from death thou didst restore. And what follows, Psalter 234, the first four stanzas. Thank you. the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. A remembering sacrament, a teaching sacrament, and now thirdly, an assuring sacrament. Then the instructors in these answers, then they use different words. They use the word embrace, the word nourish, and also the word assured. Thus, when we consider this sacrament, and it is not that we can separate that teaching from that embracing, because it is also the work of the Holy Spirit that through the sacraments it is accompanied by His Holy Word, that by that teaching that they are given to believe, and also that they may embrace what is signified in the sacrament, and that they may be nourished, that they may be strengthened. Thus the necessity, our instructors, they have stressed it, it is not automatic, the same with the preaching of the word. It needs to be accompanied by the loving and the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And so it is also with the sacrament of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that sacrament, to feed His people with that hunger and thirst. As I read in Matthew 5, verse 6, of people that are given to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then for that people, a people exercised with the justice of God, and who have learned that with all their efforts, that they are a guilty, condemnable sinner still, then what a rich preaching it is. And that is for a people, because it mentions in this Lord's Day, all believers. Who are we now to understand by all believers? In the 12 articles, then we have heard it, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, and I believe in the Holy Ghost. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit, the true work of the Spirit in the heart of poor sinners, to never let such a sinner rest outside of that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Holy Spirit, He works faith, as we have heard, by the word, and He strengthens the same by His word and by the use of the holy sacraments. And now it is pleased the King of the Church, He deals so lovingly, He deals so tenderly, to vividly portray before their eyes what He has done, what it has cost Him to merit salvation for His Church. Thus the necessity of the exercise of true saving faith, to make it simple for our children when a person is very sick, deadly sick, and then such a one may hear that there is a physician that has a special medicine, has been proved on many. The same disease that they have, then our children can understand that it is not sufficient to only hear of that physician with that medicine. Oh, what shall grant hope? And they can be given to rejoice with the thought, if they may now receive, not only look at it, but take that medicine, then there is hope that they shall be perfectly healed. And now concerning the sacrament, then for the comfort of the child of God, then it is necessary that they may be given by true saving faith to embrace what is declared in the signs, the broken bread and the poured out wine. And then the instructors, they have mentioned those benefits, and especially to receive, it is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin. For the true child of God, that's what it goes about their sin, concerning their burden, cannot appear before the Lord with their sins. They have learned that they cannot pay themselves. And now the Spirit declares in His Word that only sacrifice of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of sin, and further, and nourishes my soul to everlasting life. Thus, with that assurance, then it is, as it were, that the King, in that broken bread, and in that poured out wine, that He gives us testament as well concerning His child, a pledge, a token of assurance that their sins, they are completely pardoned and a right to eternal life. What a blessed portion. How is the congregation? Are we exercised with those matters? The pardon of sin, life everlasting, does not begin with the Lord's Supper. No, we know that. There must be a beginning. The Spirit makes room also in the life of His true people and those further leadings, that they may receive a place at the table of the covenant. Then the Lord shall draw them, the Lord shall bring them, the Lord shall remember them. Our last thought, a uniting sacrament. Our second thought, that teaching sacrament, then we could say for me. Our third thought, an assuring sacrament, that is to me, where the King, He grants those precious tokens of His dying love. and our forethought, a uniting sacrament, then we could say with me. And that is now the desire of the living church for me. Already a wonder when they may be given to embrace, given to believe that there is a Savior so sufficient, white and ruddy, that I can be saved. Greater blessing when it may be given to me, that I may embrace it by true saving faith, not only for others, but also for me, and thereby to receive the pardoning of sin and right to eternal life. But now in the true work, then there shall be that vehement desire for the forethought with me. And that speaks of the sweet communion of the Lord with his church. Many examples in the Bible, John 15, the branches in the vine. Think of Boaz and Ruth. What wonderful things she has experienced. She received a place at the table. But was that now enough for Ruth? Oh, it cannot be different. And Ruth was not satisfied. And she says, mother-in-law, now I have received a place on the field of Boaz, permission to continue to glean. I was invited to the table. He handed me that vinegar parched corn, spoken to me. Thus now we have everything. Oh, at the moment she did. Full is full. Cup floweth over. But Ruth, then she desired more. Then each time by renewal, then she desired that Boaz would come on his field and speak a word to her, even mention her name. It was already great. Give instruction concerning who he was, and in the further leadings, that she may even become the bride of that rich Boaz. Oh, think of the Song of Solomon. Then it was the desire of the bride to have communion, not only to receive those gifts, they are precious. Church may be wonder them, but for the true child of God to experience that continual communion. And in that respect, the instructors, they have added, in addition to all those blessings, the pardoning of sin and life everlasting. But the sacrament is a help unto sanctification, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to a sacred body by the Holy Spirit who dwells both in Christ and in us. So that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. It's the expression that we read when Eve was brought to Adam. Thus, the longing of the church is not finished with Lord's Supper, but desire to have that close, that tender, that dependent life, to live through Him, to live out of Him, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit as members of the same body are by one soul. Thus a description of those true servants and those true handmaidens of the Lord. I read in Romans 8, verse 29, that they become conformable to the Son of God. Thus, for the true child of God, all the sacraments, a precious gift of the King, a means of grace to strengthen their faith, but that they may be nourished. When we think of Elijah, when he lay under the juniper tree, so discouraged, had done great things in the strength of the Lord on Mount Carmel, but so discouraged. And then the Lord has sent an angel, and he was fed, and he was enabled by that food to go in the strength thereof for 40 days. The blessings of the sacrament of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is free with His people. When we think in the Scriptures, then we have those Paul has stated in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, I know in whom I have believed. Then for Paul has stated, lie sure. Then for another one, they are drawn by love. Ah, that Mary, saving for a long time, that she may purchase that little bottle of ointment and to pray and ask the Lord for the opportunity that she may anoint her master. For another one, 'tis with trembling, think of that woman with the issue of blood, that Jesus came trembling through the crowd with that faith, if I may but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be healed. We read of an Esther that she has declared in Esther 4 verse 16, so will I go unto my people, unto the King, and if I perish, I perish. The bride is prayed in the Song of Solomon 1 verse 4, draw me and we will run after thee. And then in chapter 2 verse 4, He has brought me to the banqueting house, and the banner over me was love. Then in this Lord's Day, when we read the answers, then what a light and what an insight and also experience that those young instructors had concerning the riches of the sacrament. And now for the true child of God, then it is so needful that they are given to ask for that light and for that instruction to receive the profit thereof, a uniting sacrament. Then I read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, ye are bought with a price. That is declared what the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the price that the church is purchased with, the broken body, the poured out blood. Ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou hast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day, another soul's market day, for one more less upon the earth. Ah, for the true church. Then at the end it shall be an everlasting Sabbath day. But for the unconverted shall be eternally night. Lord, then the instructors, they have spoken of rich matters. And who was able to explain the riches thereof? Ah, thy people are so dependent upon thy Holy Spirit. Lord, wilt thou convert what is unconverted? Remember thy people. We may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us, the mothers in the home with the children? Remember at work. Tomorrow it shall be the first day of school. Remember also the students that are attending an institution of higher learning, where they hear such contrary things. Ah, Lord, wilt thou keep them? Wilt thou place a wall round about them? May they be as a Daniel, that they may stand even when they are alone, that they may be given to stand firm. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger, from an unexpected, above all from an unprepared death? Keep from sin and temptation. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Remember those that are called to work in the night watches. Bring us together during the week for a midweek service. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 52, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd, therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow. And what follows, Psalter 52, 1, 3, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.